Today's passage is one of the most favored passages of all of Paul's writing. He's writing to the church in Corinth. This is from 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Where did Valentine's Day come from? Hallmark and florists invented it. I have a ritual I go through every year. I'll leave the house late Valentine's Eve, and I'll go to Walmart. And me and all the other guys will fight over the last few dozen roses. And I get a card, whatever's left at that time, and I take it home. And Mary Louise, in the morning when she gets up, it's already there and waiting for. I love doing that. I don't really go because it's a tradition. I go because I forget. And something will come up on TV that eve and I will be reminded. And I will say, honey, I'm just not sleepy. I'm going to stay up a while. And she knows what's going on. But did you know Valentine's is really, I mean, it's part of the Christian calendar. It is really more in the Catholic tradition. There was a Saint Valentine's. And in the third century, according to an early tradition, this was before the church. Remember, we talked about how Constantine brought the church into the empire and the church became respectable. But before then, what happened to Christians? They were martyred. And St. Valentine's in the third century, he was about to be martyred. And he heard that his jailer's daughter was blind. And so he prayed to God on the eve of his martyrdom that her sight be restored, and it was. He was still martyred the next day. And in the 18th century, some authors added that he wrote her a letter on the eve of his martyrdom, and he signed it, "Your Valentine." That was a nice addition 1,800 years later. Nonetheless, when I am reminded of love, I always think of this passage from 1 Corinthians. The part of it, love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. That is in every wedding ceremony I've ever done in a bunch of years. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth because the young church in Corinth was a mess. It was a mess. They were suing each other in pagan court. They were getting in fights during worship. They would break in line at the holy feast. Back then, this table had become a huge feast, and they would jostle with one another to see who would get the best portions, leaving the widows and the poor to eat the scraps. It was a mess. And Paul wrote them this letter, and he reminded them what real love is. Paul tells the young church that without love in your heart, you are nothing. You gain nothing. You are like a noisy gong, loud and meaningless. He was telling them that they could do all of the right ritual things and say all of the right words, but when it came down to showing love, they were not passing. And then he describes what sort of love that is. Love is patient, love is kind. Question. Why is kindness so lacking in our public discourse? I mean, this is a bipartisan issue. It includes all of the networks. It includes everyone. In our public discourse, we have lost the ability to be kind to one another. Am I wrong? Question. Is the human race getting kinder or meaner? No, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Okay, stupider. Okay. We are, before we beat ourselves up too much, we are getting kinder as a species. We really are. If you think about all of the movements of the last couple of centuries that have brought greater rights to more people, that have fed more people, we are getting kinder as a species. We still have a long way to go. Then he describes love. Love is not envious or boastful. You know what I believe? I believe that envy is at the root of most human sin. The first recorded murder was, who killed who? Cain killed Abel. They had a disagreement about worship. I believe that envy is our main sin today. And it's not just an envy. I envy what you have and I want it. It's an envy of the way you live as opposed to the way I live. It's material envy. It's personal envy. But I do believe if we could just turn off the envy button, things would be so much better. I am determined, one thinker said, to be satisfied with my lot in life, and only then can I better it. And then he told them, love is not arrogant or rude. Over the centuries, racial arrogance has caused untold human misery. Over the centuries, yes, but it still does. Dr. Martin Luther King's Jr. dream of the shared table while closer to reality now, still has a way to go to reach its fullness, does it not? Love does not insist on its own way. And this is sometimes hard for we humans to internalize. Love gives ground. Love makes compromises. Love finds a way to yes. My way or the highway is not how love works. Even when you're in the right, let me rephrase that, especially when you're in the right, a quotient of love will positively change your outlook. The church in Corinth was in danger of splitting because of one group's insistence on their own way. For years, I was on the church development group for the Coastal Plains area, and part of our task, and this is years ago, was to help churches who were in trouble, who had gotten into arguments with one another, where there were disagreements. One church was splitting over the color of the carpet in the sanctuary. We used to have a Jones Road Christian Church 50 years ago. But about 40 years ago, there were two families who were basically running the church. One family decided they wanted a new baptismal mural. And these two families, I don't think I need to tell you, did not like one another. And so they had a new mural, baptismal mural, painted behind the baptismal, which was like right there. It was a pretty mural. The other family didn't like it. So they decided they would re-carpet the sanctuary in a color that, and it did, I have to admit, it clashed with the new mural. I think they picked out the carpet on purpose. Be that as it may, the church split. Within 2 years, the doors of that church had closed. And while that wasn't the reason at the end, it was the beginning of their end. In another church, I was called to a disagreement because two elders had gotten in an altercation at the communion table, and one of them had smacked the other elder with a candlestick. Not hard enough to call the police, but they had a disagreement at the table. Oh my goodness. Disagreements in church can fester and grow like crazy. I was talking to some people down here. I think it was Liz and Linda before worship, and I said, you know, it just feels good walking into this place now. And y'all treat me well, and not just because I'm your pastor. You treat everybody like that now. It is truly a welcoming place. Hang on to that with all of your strength. Let love motivate you in the future to continue that. Love does not hang on to resentments. Is there some resentment that you personally are hanging on to right now because it feels righteous? If you are hanging on to resentment that you have received some wrongdoing in the past, let it go. By the power and authority vested in me as a minister of the gospel of Christ Jesus, I give you permission to let go of that resentment. Half of you think I'm kidding with you. Half of you aren't sure. God can love you better without a wall of resentments blocking the way. Wait, you'll see. And then he says, love does not rejoice in the wrong, but always rejoices in the right. When you get a kick out of your enemy's misery, you might want to check that out in your prayer closet. Just saying. One of the hardest, most rewarding things that we can do is to pray for our enemies. That old quote of Lincoln, you've heard it many, many times when asked by a woman shortly after the war, and she was not happy with the way Reconstruction was going because it was, in her mind, too lenient. And her husband was one of the cabinet officials. And she said, Mr. President, should we not rather seek to destroy our enemies? And President Lincoln said, well, yes, ma'am. But do I not destroy them when I make them my friends? Everything else will pass away with time. You know that. I'm losing things even as we speak. My memory, my endurance, my hair. All of those unnecessary things we cling to will pass. God's love won't. God's love is the enduring quality of the universe. Think about that. God's love set the whole thing in motion at the Big Bang of creation. God's love is the source of the baby's giggle. God's love will accompany each of us on the wonderful journey of life that finally leads back home to God. Love never ends. Amen.